Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, isn't it refreshing?
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
China's paying a 104% tariff. Think of it, 104%. Now, it sounds ridiculous, but they charged us for many items 100%, 125%. Many countries have. They've ripped us off left and right. But now it's our turn to do the ripping. Right.
That's for you, Ryan Wiggins.
I had not heard that.
If I said, now it's our turn to do the ripping on the show, would you just take over for the rest of the amount of time that we had left?
Well, it would be interactive. I'd ask you what kind of ripping, you know, was this at home or abroad?
What?
Whoa. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the answer to your question is yes. Generally, I would just sort of go.
So it looks like China and the United States are just going to keep upping each other?
Where does this end?
I don't know, but the stock market's up 389 points right now in the Dow.
Okay, then just keep adding tariffs.
Does it make you panic at all? I know you've been paying attention with some trepidation. I asked, Monday or maybe it was Friday, if the stock market was making people freak out. You were, if it was making you unsure, I don't remember how it just, I worded it.
Yeah, nervous or
nervous. You said you
like
were nervous.
That. Yeah, it makes me nervous just because it's volatile. I don't really have a lot to lose, but a lot of people do have a lot to lose. So that does make me nervous. But that doesn't mean that I'm against all the things that are happening now. They're not mutually exclusive. I like seeing this. I don't know if I like the escalation, but you have to do it. And you also had to have predicted that China would do this. So they've factored all this in.
You just said they have to do this. You can't. There's no. What's the PG way to say half but?
I think that you probably just said
half-hearted.
It.
Yeah,
hearted. Yes. Yeah,
half-hearted's better than half but.
No, I like half but.
Any other body parts?
Yeah. You just sort of draw a line right down the center.
Split it left and right.
Yeah, split it left and right.
It's a doozy. Welcome back, Brad. You can't half but this transformative, never really done before process where you're trying to reshape the global economy by putting America first, the market that everybody wants a piece of and a part of. You can't do that half but. You have to be all in. And Trump is never minced any words about the fact that he was going to do this. But I think that all of that trepidation that existed at the very beginning was everybody on the edge of their seat when they're like, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. And then it was amazing to watch X, which is where I follow things the most, explode right when the stock market started going down. They're like, oh, the sky's falling. We said this was going to happen, blah, blah, blah. Okay, now it's come back up again. Where will it be next week? We have no idea. I'm not going to sit here and do the antithesis of what the people who were championing their political ideology, watching the stock market go down into the red, and champion my political ideology when it's going back up in the green, because right now it's still 37,000 right now on the Dow, and it was, what, 42 before?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what the peak was? The highest to high, something like that?
Yeah, right around there.
So it's at 38 right now. So, I mean, I keep hearing people say, like, the stock market, you can't live and die by the stock market every day. Like, you're buying that long term, so on I get it. But politically, it's always everything anybody needs it to be. It's whoever you are, you can come up with something to make some sort of political hay out of it for people who don't really understand as much of what's going on. So then you see a lot of countries coming to the table wanting to negotiate. You see a lot of countries participating in the new way of America doing business. Now, how they're going to do it, oh, we don't know yet. It's case by case by case by case. I heard President Trump say, this is not off the rack. This is tailor-made. And I thought, well, that's quite an interesting way for Donald Trump to put it. And it's something that I understand. Like, the idea of having something tailor-made for each individual country is the way this man is going about the business of putting America first. And it really feels to me like while all of this is happening, it all centers around one country. It actually all centers around China and what all of this trade is going to do to put China in at least what Donald Trump feels like and in the vein of America, their rightful place.
104% tariffs on China are not enough. I'm advocating 400%. I do business in China. They don't play by the rules. They've been in the WTO for decades. They have never abided by any of the rules they agreed to when they came in for decades. They cheat. They steal. They steal IP. I can't litigate in their courts. They take product, technology. They steal it. They manufacture it and sell it back here. Never has an administration.
Can Americans withstand 400% tariffs? What would that look like?
I want Xi on an airplane to Washington to level the playing field. This is not about tariffs anymore. Nobody has taken on China yet, not the Europeans, no administration for decades. As someone who actually does business there, I've had enough. I speak for millions of Americans who have IP that have been stolen by the Chinese. I have nothing against the Chinese people. They brought great literacy, art, and tech to the world. The government cheats and steals, and finally, an administration, you may not like Trump, you may not like his style or his rhetoric. Finally, an administration that puts up and says enough. 400% tariffs tomorrow morning.
Now, I'm going to interrupt Kevin O'Leary here, chairman of O'Leary Ventures, who I still think, isn't he still trying to buy TikTok? Isn't he still trying to participate?
Last I heard, yes.
Yeah, he's still in on it.
And that's still... we could be very close to a deal being made on that as well. What happens with China, probably in this tariff negotiation thing, actually is probably very connected to TikTok. Because my understanding is that President Xi has to sign off on whatever the deal is made for TikTok. So you can get the businesses together and both sides of that business can say, yeah, that's a great deal. We absolutely want to do it. And Xi can say, no, not happening. Then that makes you wonder how valuable TikTok is to the Chinese government. And if it's that valuable to the Chinese government, fill in the blank. Kevin O'Leary is not talking about China the way everybody else is talking about all of these other countries. The tariff conversation around China is not the same as the tariff conversation with South Korea or with Vietnam or with any of these other countries because of how the Chinese economy works, and it's owned by the government, and they're able to do things in their country that other countries aren't able to do because of what China is willing to do and what they can get away with. So here you have a businessman, and it's interesting to see him do CNN because he does a lot of Fox too. Like, he's the outnumbered guy in the middle quite often. He does a lot of hits. He almost appears like a Fox News contributor where he's bopping around all the place, but it's good to see him on CNN talking to them too, and it's good to see CNN listening to what Kevin O'Leary wants to say. But this is a guy who's not talking about tariffs in the political sense. I think that Kevin O'Leary is in the politics of money. Whatever makes him as a businessman, as a venture capitalist, money, and whatever is good for business, that's where his focus and attention is. And it's important to understand somebody who is investing, he keeps saying, I do business in China. What would it take to do that business in the United States of America? He knows that the game is not fair. This is what Donald Trump has been saying this whole time, that it's not a fair fight and it needs to be leveled in a sense where it is balanced. Here's more from O'Leary.
He'll tell you why. Xi can only stay the supreme leader if people are employed. If we wipe out any business there, because we are still 39% of all consumables on Earth and 25% of the world's GDP, America is the number one economy on Earth with all the cards. We will not have that forever. It's time to squeeze Chinese heads into the wall now.
Well, I'm hold on a second, Kevin. Well, I hear you, but hold on. If we're talking about people, the average consumer, not necessarily the head honchos of businesses all across the globe, can they withstand the pressure of that sort of tax on
it's
the goods
short going lived
down?
There will be
what's your timeline compared to, you don't know the average American's timeline, what they can actually survive. There's people right now who can't survive
400% tomorrow morning cheese on an airplane to Washington to cut a deal.
And how big would that be? That's what O'Leary keeps saying. You got to make the pressure so big, so great, that President Xi himself comes here. Remember, Xi wanted to come to the inauguration. Do you remember that?
Yeah. That was an odd little footnote.
Yeah. Why?
I don't know.
Trump has said this about tariffs, specifically about President Xi and how imbalanced they are. He has said out loud that he essentially respects China for doing what's best for China. And he's like, hey, if you can get away with it, who is he to say anything against that? But now he's in charge and you're not going to get away with it anymore. So he, in his own Donald Trump way, says things that respects the gamesmanship, really, of people like President Xi. And that makes the left lose their mind, because you're just not supposed to talk to them. You're not supposed to talk to China. You're not supposed to deal with China in a way that is, you know, friendly, because they're the bad guy. Same thing with Russia. Same thing with North Korea. We find out today, there's a report out that the Biden administration had private conversations before they made it public to America about the Chinese balloon that flew over our country. They had these discussions and were saying, you know, when this gets out to the public, if we can't handle this before it gets out to the public, this is going to be really, really bad for our public relationship with China. We are constantly in communication in backdoor channels with China to try to make things work. You remember when, was it Lloyd Austin, General Lloyd Austin, who said at one point, wasn't it Austin who's General Milley,
yeah,
who went to China and was like, we'll give you a heads up if we're gonna bomb you, when Trump was president the first time. And I don't think that there are any plans to bomb China, but you've got General Milley running around the president to say, like, what kind of relationship do we really have with China? And if we owe them at the end of the year hundreds of billions of dollars in money, in dollars, to balance out the trade that we have, to get crappier goods made by slaves, that's not rhetoric. They use children to make things. They pay them nothing to go through it. They live in terrible circumstances, and we ship all of that out. The people who are advocating against these tariffs are advocating against bringing those jobs back to Americans, who are advocating for keeping the cost of goods down, which is what we just heard CNN lady there. I don't know what her name is. Welker?
Abby. Abby Phillip.
Thank you. I've never even heard of her. I heard of her?
No.
Okay.
I've never heard of her.
What is this going to mean for people here in, you say the short term, but how long do people have? What? Like, it was so good before Donald Trump got into office? It costs were down and everybody was celebrating the cost of goods. The cost of goods are outrageous, and the prices have gone up on all of the cheap Chinese crap that we have to consume all of the time. This status quo is not good enough. The people advocating against what Donald Trump is trying to do, I really want to turn it around on them and say, what is it exactly that you want to stay the way it was? And what exactly is it that you're proposing to lower the cost of goods for Americans? Because you had everything for the first 2 years of Biden's presidency. You could have lowered prices then, but you didn't. Inflation was out of control under President Biden. You could have tried to rein that in. You created the Inflation Reduction Act that increased inflation. You could have done something then, but you didn't. You could have cared about egg prices on January 19th, but you didn't. We're not stupid. We know that this is going to be a bumpy ride. I think a lot of people are holding their breath right now. They are looking at their 401ks. Your age really does make a difference in how much you're concerned right now. But people are holding their breath, hoping that they get to the other side. And actually, they're hopeful that this president can do what he says he's going to do. I don't think that they're blindly leading him, knowing with no uncertainty that everything is going to work out puppies, sunshine, and rainbows. But they know that you got to do something. And Trump has a clear plan on what to do. And when I hear businessmen like O'Leary going out there and saying, I'd quadruple the tariffs on China, that matters something to me. That makes a difference to me. He's somebody who knows what he's talking about. And if he tanks this whole thing by saying something like that, if it ends up being bad to do business in China, that hurts O'Leary personally. Financially, it's hard. I mean, if on Thursday, wasn't Thursday Liberation Day, April 2nd?
It was last Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Yeah.
If on Wednesday, you'd say 1 week later, this is what we would be looking at. I wonder how much worry people would have not engaged in between then and now. Would you have less?
No, I think this is the volatility that people were pricing into the market. So,
what do you mean by that?
Well, this is the uncertainty, because you didn't know how countries were going to respond. You have apparently 70-plus countries all calling Trump and going, hey, let's work out a deal, and the markets love that. But your biggest adversaries, China, EU, which he's targeting the most, they're really not saying let's cut a deal yet. They're just fighting back. So it's kind of what everybody was expecting, that we're sitting here a week later.
Well, and I think, too, that the conversation's still happening. The stock market having not gone into Black Monday territory. I think a week in, if the negotiation is still at peak level, like it's not look like people have just said, I am not participating in this, we're going to rally against America across the globe, that would make people rightfully panic. But I don't think we're there. I think that the left, unfortunately, was hoping for a week into this to look a lot worse than it does right now.
They certainly were not hoping that people would be calling so fast saying, let's make a deal.
Yep. When we come back, Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg is going to join us. He is the assistant to the president and special envoy for Ukraine. Yesterday, we had a conversation with Jim Carafano, and we talked a lot about border security and what the president is doing here in the homeland. Let's talk about Ukraine. Are they still coming to make a deal? Are they still looking to end this war? Is Putin going to come to the table? Well, if there's anyone to talk to about this, it's General Keith Kellogg, and he's going to be with us on the Annie Fry Show to give us an up-close and personal look at what the administration is doing right now to end that war. General Keith Kellogg next.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now, Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, it's disturbing. It's disturbing with North Korea participating. It's disturbing with the Chinese soldiers having been captured. We're aware of those reports that Ukraine captured two Chinese citizens fighting on behalf of Russia in Ukraine. China is a major enabler of Russia in the war in Ukraine. China provides nearly 80% of the dual-use items Russia needs to sustain the war. 80% comes from China. As President Trump has said, continued cooperation between these two nuclear powers will only further contribute to global instability and make the United States and other countries less safe, less secure, and less prosperous. I think that's an understatement.
State Department spokeswoman Tammy Bruce there talking about these Chinese fighters that were found in Ukraine. And we want to go to our expert friend to talk to us about what is developing right now in this conflict, this war between Russia and Ukraine, and the Trump administration's efforts to try to put an end to it. So we go to Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg, Assistant to the President and Special Presidential Envoy for Ukraine. General Kellogg, thank you for the time today. It's always good to have you here.
Annie, thanks for having me. It's always good to be with you.
Well, thank you. I want to give you the opportunity to kind of set the table for us. We've seen the talks from the Trump administration to Ukraine. First went a little bit crazy with Zelensky in the Oval Office, but then they were able to meet and to come to an agreement. And then the administration went to Russia, and it seems as though it didn't end necessarily, but we don't have an accord between the two groups in the conflict. Where is the United States right now as they're trying to achieve peace?
Yeah, we're kind of, you know, hopefully we're getting close to some type of ceasefire as we're going forward. And frankly, the impediments to progress for the Russians right now, it's not the Ukrainians. The Ukrainians got a policy right now. They're calling max cooperation, which I think is probably true. Ever since that debacle in the West Wing, in the Oval Office with President Zelensky and President Trump, they've really come around and kind of said, this is where we need to go. And they've been very, very cooperative. But the Russians, I look at the world a little bit differently. And that's where we're going to have to figure out exactly what do they want to do. Are they willing to go to a ceasefire? They don't necessarily want to go to a ceasefire right away. We do. What we want to go to is what we call a comprehensive ceasefire. That's air, sea, land, infrastructure, all civilian targets. And then basically, as I was told by Defense Minister Umarov, he's a like chief negotiator. This means no shooting, and no shooting means no shooting. I kind of get that one. And that's where they want to be, because President Trump has always said he wants to stop the killing and stop the violence. And the carnage is, and we've talked about this before, the carnage is unbelievable that you're seeing there. So it's going to be up to them right now. We know where the Ukrainians are at. We're very comfortable where they're at. We know what they want. They're very supportive, and they're willing to go there right now. And what that means to everybody is they've acknowledged the fact that in all probability, that does not mean NATO accession in the near term, simply because that's a red line for Russia. But over the long term, we'll have to see where it goes. It also means a ceasefire in place. That means when you look at the land that they've seized out there, it's de facto recognition, but not de jure, which means you have not accessed for the rest of your lives type deal. We're going to wait this one out. And that, by the way, that goes back to a policy we've had over the years called the Rawls Doctrine, which we said that actually in 1940 with the Baltics when they were overcome by the Soviet Union. So I think it's a day by day. It's dicey. It's not easy. It's not hard. But this now it's over to the Russians. Where do you want to go? And President Trump's very resolute on this. And I would tell you, Annie, working for President Trump, his instincts are remarkable. He knows what he wants to get to. He understands the issue. And we want to get this thing solved. And because he sees it as a killing field that needs to be stopped in the near term.
We're speaking with the Assistant to the President, Special Presidential Envoy for Ukraine, General Kellogg, is with us right now. What is Russia, if Russia could get their demands to make the stop, what are they saying, at least at this juncture, that they want?
Well, I kind of joke about it. You know, knowing the Russians as I know the Russians, Annie, I wouldn't be surprised if they say, hey, look, you know, we sold you Alaska over 100 years ago. We want it back. That's not going to play. No, thank you very much. But I think in the short term, I think the fact is their red line happens through NATO expansion. And I think we can work on that. We've seen this before. It takes every country in NATO, it takes all 32 of 32 to vote for accession. And I don't think that's in the cards right now. So we say that. But at the same time, we give the Ukrainian security guarantees. I think we would say to them on the land, okay, it's de facto recognition because, you know, they've seized that territory. It's going to be, unless you want to go to continued warfare, you can say in the short term, that's what I've said between de facto and de jure. And we've actually, as I said a minute ago, we actually have a doctrine on that we've had since 1940. And when we say over the long term, this is something that we're not going to agree that you've annexed. And by the way, I have to go back to the 50s with Konrad Adenauer, the first chancellor of Germany. He wanted to unify Germany. And at the time, he knew he wasn't going to get a unified Germany, but he was willing to look at the long game, how this is going to play. And eventually he has a unified Germany. So this is where they want to go. Those are the two big issues. Our big issues, of course, are just stop the shooting. But President Trump brought something else up that I thought is really, it kind of is the way President Trump is. He also wants to bring in the humanitarian piece. What he wants is he wants the kids back. You know, there's about 40,000 children that have been taken away in that range. And he and President Zelensky have talked about that. And President Trump, to his credit, said this is going to be a big issue. President Zelensky even said some of those kids we're not going to see simply because their kids or parents were killed in attacks. So you probably won't see those. But President Trump wants to bring the families back together, and he said that as part of it. And it's kind of an unusual, you know, tactic, but mm-hmm. I think he's absolutely right. It kind of shows the way he thinks about things. But I think we're in an interesting period of time on how this is going to play. And when I'm talking about time, I think we'll know from the Russians probably within the next week to 2 weeks at the most. Right. Do they really want to play, or are they serious about this or not? I mean, that's the question we've got to them. We know the Ukrainians are serious. The Russians have got to show us that they're serious as well.
We're speaking with General Kellogg regarding the war between Russia and Ukraine. We had a conversation yesterday, had callers call in, and we were giving them the opportunity to grade the president, the job he's doing so far, and got an overwhelming A from our audience. But one thing that a caller did bring up was there was a lot of campaign speak about how quickly the president could end the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. And he was talking about being able to talk to both of the leaders and to get a deal done, and to get it done should never have happened in the first place. He would always remind us it never would have happened had he had been the president. Do you think that there has been something like a status change that has caused this to take a little bit of time into his first term here? I mean, we're only a couple months into it, but he did allude that he would be able to get it done very quickly. Is that the timeline that we're still on?
Well, and to kind of a yes or no answer, President Trump, said this is very, very hard. He thinks this is harder. He's actually said this publicly. This is going to be harder than getting the Middle East to a solution. You know, I remember when we talked about it, I remember telling President Trump, you know, maybe I should have taken the easier route. That's solving world hunger in 90 days. But I think he's there. You know, he said he would solve it in a month. He never said what month. I'm kidding, of course. But he understands how difficult this is.
Yeah.
But look, you know, Annie, the fact is that he's actually talking to Putin and Zelensky. It's something Joe Biden didn't do in 3 years of conflict. Never talked to him. Never talked to Putin. And you've got to talk to him. He's at least addressing the issue. And I would tell people, okay, I got to, you know, I see what you're saying. But at least he's going after and trying to solve this war that's gone on longer than 3 years. It's the longest war since World War II. The casualties are absolutely stunning. I mean, I call it industrial strength killing. And he's approaching them both. So I would tell people, you know, look what he's done in the first 100 days. We're getting both parties to talk. We've got negotiations going on with both parties. So we're going to get there. And I said, it's just, this is really, really, really hard. And I admire him for what he's trying to do and get it done. You know, when I look at the President of the United States, the fact of the matter is, when you look at the world problems that are out there, the fact that he's addressing moms, all of them simultaneously. He's not doing it sequentially. He's not going to the Middle East and Russia, then the border, and then, you know, the economic piece as well. He's attacking them all simultaneously. Mm-hmm. That's hard, but at least he's trying to do it.
Yeah, amen to that. General Kellogg, since you are the special presidential envoy for Ukraine, I'm interested in your comment. This is from a Fox News report yesterday. Federal prosecutors revealed that Ryan Routh, the accused would-be assassin of President Donald Trump, sought to obtain military-grade weapons, including a rocket launcher, from a Ukrainian contact as part of his alleged assassination plot. So it sounds like Ryan Routh was trying to work with, some people are saying Ukraine, but this article says a Ukrainian contact. That's a broad spectrum of how involved the country could be. Do you have any comment on this development, that there was some connection there between Ryan Routh and Ukraine?
Yeah, to me, it's a noise level, Annie. I mean, what I mean by that is, you know, this guy's a wacko anyway. I mean, look what he was trying to do. I mean,
yeah.
This is not a very good plan. And, you know, he probably reached out. He actually reached out to a U.S. producer, Barrett. He wanted to get a Barrett 50 caliber. And he actually first tried to get a Barrett, buy it on the open market here in the United States, and that didn't play. So he may have just been tooling around trying to figure out where he's going to get. And he never got it. I think he said two things. He wanted either a Stinger or an RPG. A Stinger is air, but you could use it against an aircraft. Or a ground system, and you know, he never got anything from anybody. And you know, I hate to say this, but I do know it. the arms sales are pretty lucrative globally. You know, you can probably buy about anything you want on the open market. It's kind of stunning, but it's just the way it is. And I just think this guy was beyond a loose cannon. And I just like, okay, so I was like, well, thank you very much for the next subject. Mm-hmm. It didn't register on my, you know, very much to me. It wasn't on my bingo card.
All right. Well, we appreciate your comments, and we look forward to watching the president continue to concurrently try to solve the whole world's problems. You were a big part of that, and we're grateful for some of your time here on the Annie Frye Show. General Kellogg, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks, Annie. Thanks for having me.
Yes, of course. We'll have you again soon. Bye-bye. Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg, Assistant to the President and Special Presidential Envoy for Ukraine. He says he's a Looney Tune. Oh, no, I let me correct that. A wacko.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth told his associate to, quote, send me a RPG or Stinger, and I will see what we can do. Trump is not good for Ukraine, according to documents obtained by Fox News.
It's just amazing that that conversation could even happen. I mean, this guy's just some nut. Like, how does that happen?
I mean, wasn't he, like, he was trying to recruit soldiers, you know, freelance fighters to go fight in Ukraine as well. I mean, he was very big into that. But yeah, I'm not shocked by the fact that he was trying to find weapons to get the president because he thought the president would stop the war in Ukraine.
The pair discussed Ruth's purchase options, with Ruth inquiring if his associate could, quote, ship it to me? 3? Before explaining his intent for the military-grade weapons, quote, I need equipment so that Trump cannot get elected, end quote. Ruth went on to say the weapons of war get lost, quote, all the time on the battlefield, and, quote, one missing would not be noticed.
Gosh. Also, what does he think he's going to do with a mass destructive weapon?
I'm glad you asked. Prosecutors say that Ruth also floated the idea of obtaining a rocket or missile launcher, with the suspect sending his associate an image of President Trump's plane and writing, quote, Trump's plane. He gets on and off daily.
He was planning on shooting the plane out of the sky with a rocket launcher?
Maybe not out of the sky. He could do it from the ground.
I guess, yeah, he could shoot it while he's on the ground. Still, just wow. That's a crazy story.
Quote, ship it to me?
He just shows up in a crate on his porch.
I need a stinger.
Amazon takes a picture of it. Delivered. Here you go. It's a rocket launcher, we think. We don't know. It says rocket launcher.
He leaves out the juice boxes and crackers for the delivery boy.
Little basket.
Let's take a quick break. Wiggins America next. What is it?
Gen Z News.
Do you even know how to do this?
Well, I figure Ethan could help.
Gen Z is Ethan's age.
Yeah.
The youngins in the workforce right now, but you know how collectively, culturally, we just smacked millennials around for a really long time? Gen Z's turn. And the millennials get to be in the old fart club.
That's what this is all about.
Is it?
It's our turn.
Oh, man. I swear I'd never do this.
Well, you don't have to participate.
No, I'll defend them.
Oh,
I will.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe. We'll have to wait and see. Wiggins America, next.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Frye Show. We're going to break into coverage here of Wiggins America and the Gen Z news, the latest and greatest in Gen Z trends. And we are going to check in on the stock market and some news from the administration regarding the China reaction, their retaliation of putting more higher tariffs on us. The Trump administration is now reacting to that, and they've made quite a decision. Let's listen in.
Fox News alert. Moving markets right now is a brand new Truth Social out from President Trump. The Dow is surging now up 1,500 points on this. President Trump has just put out a Truth Social saying, based on the lack of respect that China has shown to the world's markets, I am hereby raising the tariff charge to China by the U.S. to 125% effective immediately. At some point, hopefully in the near future, China will realize that the days of ripping off the USA and other countries is no longer sustainable or acceptable. Conversely, and based on the fact that more than 75 countries have called reps of the United States, including the Department of Commerce, Treasury, and the USTR, to negotiate a solution to the subjects being discussed relative to trade, trade barriers, tariffs, currency manipulation, and non-monetary tariffs, and that these countries have not, at my strong suggestion, retaliated in any way, shape, or form against the U.S. And here's the big news grabbing the headlines. I've authorized a 90-day pause, capital letters, and a substantially lowered reciprocal tariff during this period of 10%, also effective immediately. He finishes with, thank you for your attention on this matter. That's a new Truth Social, John, out from the president moments ago. The market's obviously reacting to that.
Well, that ought to put a lot of pressure on China, I would think. And the EU, which had just authorized punitive tariffs on the United States based on the reciprocal tariffs that the president announced against the EU. We'll see what Canada has to say as well, because they took retaliatory steps. So you've got, I mean, out of there was that list in the New York Times the other day. It was of 20 countries. And of those 20 countries, one group of countries, the EU was thinking about retaliation. China was retaliating. Canada was retaliating. The other 17, and I know that there's a lot more than just 20, but the other 17 were either offering concessions or were entering into negotiations. So the president is clearly reacting to these countries that want to play ball and want to talk about evening the playing field. But for China and Canada, and potentially the EU, and I know the EU hasn't yet pulled the trigger, they've just authorized it, they're going to find themselves in a very difficult place now. All these other countries, and there could be 70 or more of them, are going to have a 90-day pause on reciprocal tariffs. In the meantime, China's got these 104% tariffs against it. Canada's going to have tariffs against it. And the EU, if it goes ahead and pulls the trigger, will have punitive tariffs against it as well. So I'm really interested to see what the EU does in the hours ahead. It may pull back.
I mean, you can only imagine the conversations that are taking place. Hearing from Bessent this morning, the Treasury Secretary, Jamie Dimon, head of the biggest, you know, American bank, was sitting down on Fox Business. We've heard from the team behind these decisions. They've been out there actively on the airwaves. Edward Lawrence is now with us. He's live at the White House. Wow, Edward, look at this market run away. Holy cow, the Dow's now up 2,200 points. What are you hearing?
We are hearing a lot of confusion. I walked into lower press moments ago here at the White House, and the communication staff knew nothing about what was going on, and they had to run up to try and figure out what is going on. The president obviously putting out on Truth Social, on social media, saying a number of different things. One, there's going to be a 90-day pause he's looking at of tariffs. The second thing is that he's going to 125% on tariffs on all goods coming from China into the United States. And you had talked about that Truth Social post, but he also says in these posts, the president, that more than 75 countries have now come to the U.S. in order to try and negotiate with the U.S. to lower these trade barriers and this trade tariffs that are in place here. And the president on the good side saying that this is having a reaction around the globe to try and get folks to the table here. But again, where the market is reacting, we're still trying to gather information on this. And in fact, folks at the White House didn't have all the information on it. But it appears there might be a 90-day pause the president's looking at, as well as instituting 125% tariffs on Chinese goods coming into the United States as a retaliation for what China did. Because China is the only country basically not coming to the U.S. to negotiate.
Well, I hope that you bought your stocks 15 minutes ago, because they're worth a lot more than they were at 1 o'clock this afternoon. So how do you think China is going to react? Remember what the president said a few days ago? He said the first country that comes to make a deal is right. going to get a great deal. The last country that comes to make a deal is not going to get a great deal. And it appears as though that country is China.
So there you have it. The interesting news that has just been released here. Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, was talking, is going to be talking here in a minute. We're going to get to that as well. But the news that is making the stock market go bananas right now in a positive way, how would you say that it's going right now?
Bananas? Oh, I would say it was going bananas.
Yeah. Hi.
With my upper voice.
Yes. A 90-day tariff pause on countries who have reached out to the United States to negotiate. He just awarded with 3 months' time. Any country that reached out to try to make a deal, you get a pause, and you get a pause, and you get a pause. China, you get an increase to 125% tariffs immediately, effective immediately, and it appears as though, I'm not an expert, that the markets like it.
Oh, gosh, yes, the markets love it. I mean, it's soaring right now. The worst job in the world right now would be to be a Chinese financial advisor. They don't know what to do. And everything they've got, every tool they've got, we've got them completely boxed in. And Trump especially.
So I'm going to play here a little bit of Carolyn Leavitt. It was speaking from the front, I guess the lawn of the White House, along with Secretary of Treasury Scott Bessent.
China will now go up to 125% because China imprudently decided to retaliate against the United States. And as I said at the podium yesterday, when you punch at the United States of America, President Trump is going to punch back harder. In that same vein, we have had more than 75 countries from around the world reach out to President Trump and his team here at the White House to negotiate better trade deals for the American worker. We have been overwhelmed with the amount of requests from countries around the world. I'll let the Secretary speak to that. We will continue with the tailor-made negotiations that I spoke about yesterday. In the meantime, there will be a 90-day pause on the reciprocal tariffs as these negotiations are ongoing, and the tariff level will be brought down to a universal 10% tariff. The Secretary here has been a huge part of the President's trade team, of course, and will continue to lead these negotiations moving forward to look out for the American worker, which is always President Trump's goal. So I'll kick it over to our great Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent.
Good. Thank you. And we saw the successful negotiating strategy that President Trump implemented a week ago today. It has brought more than 75 countries forward to negotiate. It took great courage for him to stay the course until this moment. And what we have ended up with here, as I told everyone a week ago, they are in this very spot. Do not retaliate, and you will be rewarded. So every country in the world who wants to come and negotiate, we are willing to hear you. We're going to go down to a 10% baseline tariff for them, and China will be raised to 125 due to their insistence on escalation.
Secretary, thank you for doing this. Let me ask you three quick things, just for the sake of clarity, because the markets are open and they're wondering. First of all, Mexico and China, are they part of this 10% universal? Mexico and Canada, are they part of the 10%?
Yes.
Okay. Second, given then that you have the rest of the world essentially calling it, it's not China, is this now just all about China?
Well, it's about bad actors, and you know what we will see is some of the very early countries are China's neighbors. We're going to see I'm seeing Vietnam today, Japan's at the front of the queue, South Korea, India. So you know we will see, and as I've repeatedly said, and President Trump has been saying it for years, China is the most imbalanced economy in the history of the modern world, and they are the biggest source of the U.S. trade problems. And indeed, they are problems for the rest of the world, because what we've seen is that as the U.S. announced the tariff wall last week, many of those goods have already started flooding into Europe.
So as you see it now, this trade war is China versus the rest of the world.
Well, I'm not calling it a trade war, but I'm saying that China has escalated, and President Trump responded very courageously to that, and we are going to work on a solution with our trading partners.
Excuse me, Raquel, if I could just add to what the Secretary said, many of you in the media
clearly missed the art of the deal. You clearly failed to see what President Trump is doing here. You tried to say that the rest of the world would be moved closer to China when, in fact, we've seen the opposite effect. The entire world is calling the United States of America, not China, because they need our markets, they need our consumers, and they need this president in the Oval Office to talk to them. And that's exactly why more than 75 countries have called, because the United States of America is the best place in the world to do business. And as the president has shown great courage, as the secretary has said, in choosing to retaliate against China even higher. But Elena, go ahead.
Hi, thank you, Treasury Secretary Bessent. Can you explain more of the decision-making on what feels like a reversal here? I mean, just these went into effect less than 15 hours ago, these tariffs. Why the pause now? What led to that?
No. Again, President Trump created maximum negotiating leverage for himself, and the which tariffs went into effect 15 hours ago. The ones that we have lowered went into effect a week ago, they were announced a week ago, and we have just been overwhelmed by the response from mostly our allies who want to come and negotiate in good faith. So we are expecting them to come with their best deal. As I said a week ago today, don't retaliate, hold your ground, let's see what happens. And China, they kept escalating and escalating, and now they have 125% tariffs that will be effective immediately.
Mr. Secretary,
go ahead.
Mr. Secretary, thanks so much for doing this. The 90-day pause when there was some tariffs, is that because of the whiplash that we've been seeing across the financial markets? How much was, you know, what we saw in the stock markets, you know, a part of this decision?
No, it's because of the large number of inbounds. We've had more than 75 countries contact us, and I imagine after today there will be more. So it is just a processing problem. Each one of these solutions is going to be bespoke. It is going to take some time, and President Trump wants to be personally involved. So
you've been listening to Secretary of Treasury Scott Bessent, Carolyn Leavitt as well, here talking about this major news in the market. We're going to continue to get to the bottom of this. We're going to take a quick break. Stay close. Dory Murdoch and Illinois State Representative David Freese in the next hour. Don't go away.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.